You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. I am John B. from gangrenenation.com, your host. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, your two best options, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. On yesterday's show, I gave you what I thought were the most improved positions on the Jets roster over the course of the offseason. We, of course, are mostly finished with the offseason in terms of player movement. You may see a move here or there. Fairly prominent players will be cut. They'll be traded between now and the time the season starts. Just this week, the Saints let go of Kobe Fleener, a tight end. Not a superstar player, but a guy who a lot of NFL fans will recognize. And those moves will continue as we get past June 1st, and some players will have issues with their coaches. Some teams will just decide that a player is not worth keeping around. There'll be some contract disputes. So the offseason movement's not totally finished, but largely it is. Essentially, the vast majority of your contributors, guys who are going to be your contributors in 2018, are on your team right now. And again, there are moves here or there, but really the two points where you improve your team for the coming season are free agency, the relatively early days of free agency. Not necessarily just day one or two. I think, you know, it goes on a couple days, but free agency and then really the first two rounds of the NFL draft when we're talking about immediate contributors, players who are going to help your team this season. Now, of course, longer range, you're constantly looking to churn your roster, you're constantly looking to find players who you can develop, but we're focused on the short term for this. So on today's show, since we did the glass half full version yesterday, positions that have been upgraded, we're going to look today at positions that still need upgrading, even after the Jets' offseason moves, and the Jets made a number of moves in the offseason, and I think in many ways the roster is a little bit better than it was had at the end of last season. In some ways, it's a lot better. Now, that said, I think it's still an incomplete roster. And of course, you know, when you're talking about having a rookie quarterback, you're talking about still the early stages of a rebuilding process. Now we're moving on a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be vastly more successful in terms of one loss record. We're just talking about construction of the roster. Now, one thing I want to know is because we're going to talk about positions that the Jets did not necessarily fill this offseason. This is not necessarily a criticism. In some areas it might be, but you know, we all know this was going to be longer than a 1 year build. The Jets were not going to turn into a Super Bowl contender overnight, so I'll acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that before we head into this, before I get a bunch of hate mail about how can you bash the Jets after what they did. I'm not saying the Jets made a bunch of bad moves this offseason. I'm just talking about positions that still need to be filled. And the other criticism I know I'm going to get, because I remember I did something like this a couple of years ago. I did a two-part series. I don't think it was a podcast. I think it was more the written word. I mentioned the positives the first day. The next day I mentioned the negatives, and I got a bunch of comments about how can you be so negative? You're so pessimistic. And when I wrote about the positions the Jets had not filled, and I was like, I just did the pod. It's a two-part series. If you wanted the positive, if you're going to do the positive, you also have to do the negative. If I'm doing the negative, you could have gone to yesterday and seen the positive. So if you're getting mad at me that I'm doing a show on positions that are not filled yet, listen to yesterday's show also, because we talk about some good things on yesterday's show. So those are a couple things I just want to get out of the way before we start, because I know the hate mail I'm going to get. So I want to nip it in the bud to the extent I can. So let's talk about positions that have not been filled by the Jets, positions that still need some work, and positions that, honestly, I'm not convinced they're going to be able to fill them in 2018. And maybe they will. Maybe they'll get lucky. Maybe they'll catch a break. Maybe they've made some good moves that have just flown under the radar. But these are positions that, at this point, I don't feel great about. And I think the first one is relatively obvious, and I think that's edge rusher. I think when we're talking about the edge, and the reason I use edge is because in some defenses it's listed as defensive end, in some positions it's listed as outside linebacker. In the modern NFL defense, you'll typically see a guy do both. He'll both put his hand on the ground and play quote-unquote defensive end on one play. Another plays he'll stand up as a rusher. He'll be a quote-unquote outside linebacker, but really it's the same role. You're coming off the edge. You're trying to generate a pass rush. Now, the one thing, good thing I'll say is the Jets do have a good edge player. They do have one good edge player on this roster. It's Jordan Jenkins. And I think I've said this before. Look, the Jets have had a lot of issues with their roster construction through the years. One of the issues has been they have not found enough impact talent, and I think to this date that continues to be the case. But another issue is that they just haven't found quality role players. You know, they haven't been able to develop quality role players. And to their credit, I think Jenkins is a guy. I like Jenkins. I think he's a guy who's going to turn into a quality role player. But he's an edge setter. He's an edge setter. He's not an edge rusher. He's a guy who's going to be good against the run. I think anything he contributes as a pass rusher is going to be a bonus. And in terms of who you have to rush the pass draft off the edge, I mean, you've got Leonard Williams inside. I think he'll help, but it's tough to see where the pressures are going to come from with this team. And the Jets really did not do a whole lot in the offseason to try and upgrade the spot. I'm actually kind of surprised. Now, I think when we're talking the elite edge rushers, and I think every great defense, almost every great almost every great defense has a really good edge rusher. So you're not going to find, you know, you're probably not going to find a great edge rusher from other teams, but I'm surprised the Jets didn't do more to try and just find maybe a role player, maybe a situational guy, maybe a guy with upside. They really did not do a whole lot to even try to address it. They didn't even try and take, you know, low risk, high reward moves. There was really nothing done. I'm not really sure what the plan is here. You know, you look at some of the younger guys on the roster. You have Jenkins, who was the third round pick 2 years ago. I like him. Solid player. We'll leave him out of this. Lorenzo Maldon, I mean, it seems like he's on the way. I think it's much more likely Maldon does not make this team than is that he has an impact. I think he's a guy, in many ways, the coaching staff has kind of thrown in the towel. You get the feeling, and maybe I'm misspeaking here. And I'm not saying this because with any background knowledge on the issue, but it almost seems like the Jets have kind of turned the page from Maldon. They've kind of given up, and I think he'll face some odds to try to even make the team. You look at the fifth round pick last year, Dylan Donahue, who we don't know what's going to be happening with him. He's obviously dealing with some stuff off the field, so I don't know what the situation is there. I mean, are the two guys you're going to rely on aside from Jenkins, or are they just kind of two mediocre veteran journeymen? And mediocre might be putting it nicely. You have Josh Martin, the Columbia product, the Ivy League product from Columbia University, and you have David Bass, who was an in-season signing last year. And I think calling them mediocre might be a compliment. I mean, these are just two journeymen who are not that productive. Martin's been a decent special teamer for the Jets, and he had two or three solid games last year. He had a week one game against Buffalo where he played pretty well, and there were a couple other games he played decently on defense, but I think overall he got exposed the more he played. He didn't stand out. Edge rusher is one of those positions where you only stand out when you do good things. You don't really stand out when you do bad things. It's kind of the opposite of cornerback. When you play corner, typically people only notice you when you mess up. Edge rusher is the opposite. People only notice you when you do something good. So when you don't stand out, you kind of escape. You kind of get away with it because people, you don't do anything. Typically, when you do something negative, it doesn't stand out in people's minds. But when you're not really producing, that should be a sign. And, you know, Martin didn't really produce that much. Neither did Bass. Bass is kind of a journeyman. Bass has bounced around the league. He's been around, you know, 5 years and hasn't been able to stick with the team and hasn't really produced. So, you know, there's not really much there. And they didn't really add any, even the situational, they didn't even try and find the situational guy in free agency. And they didn't even draft a guy this year, which is kind of unusual. Usually McCagnan has drafted somebody, even if it's day three like Donahue. So I was a little surprised they didn't make more of an effort to try and upgrade the pass, even if you're talking about a project guy. So that's a spot that's still a work in progress in the Jets. And again, that's where most of your pressures come from. So the fact you don't really have anybody you can rely on, you don't even have like a, you know, a Calvin Pace of 2009-2010 who's just a, you know, maybe not a world beater, but at least a solid guy. You don't even have that. I'm not even sure you have a Brian Thomas on this defense. So that is very much, I think, a work in progress. Attention, cancer patients. If you or a loved one lived, worked, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the 9/11 attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but open to anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. As we discuss positions that still need to be addressed for the Jets, we're now going to move to the offensive side of the ball. And yesterday I named center as what I thought is one of the most improved positions. I'm going to go a little broader right now for one of the spots that needs work, and I'm going to say offensive line outside of center. And what's interesting is that the Jets have four incumbent starters back, and individually you can probably talk me into any one of the four. You can talk me into any one of the four keeping their jobs. You can talk me into any of the four playing the game effectively. But if you're asking me that, if you're telling me that all four of these guys are going to go out there and be effective this year, I'd question that. I think all four of them have question marks around them. I think Kelvin Beachum is probably the most solid of them, and which is a good thing. I mean, if you're going to have the sure thing, I'd hope it would be at left tackle, which tends to be the most sought after position, the premium position on the offensive line. But you also know, I think you kind of know at this point, Beachum's probably never going to fully recover his game that he had in Pittsburgh before he suffered his injury. Now, he was solid last year. He was better in 2017 with the Jets than he was in 2016 with Jacksonville coming off an injury, but he's just solid. He's not great. He's solid. Now, left tackle is one of those positions where I think the difference between good and okay is smaller than the difference between okay and bad. I think the difference between okay and bad can help sink your team, whereas the difference between good and okay is maybe not as pronounced on Sundays. And the fact that you have a guy who's, you know, probably okay, he's just, you know, he's credible out there, that's a good thing. But you know you're not getting elite level play. You look at the two guards both played poorly last year, and I said this yesterday. People want to blame this on the center. They want to blame it on Wesley Johnson. To some extent, I think that's true, but you can't blame it all on Wesley Johnson, because Wesley Johnson played a lot in 2016, and both those guards were better. So the two guards have to get better. The two guards have been up and down their entire career. I mean, that's just been the situation. Brian Winters had an injury last year, but Brian Winters has been injured a lot, and there's not much of a track record of Brian Winters being A, healthy, B, playing well. So, you know, that's got to factor in. And then Brandon Schell at right tackle. Still don't really know what you have in him. I think it's still an open question. There are points where he looks solid. There are points where he doesn't. So when you're asking one thing to go right, you can buy it. If you're asking four things to go right, all of them, that's tougher to, you know, it's tougher to pull off. And the other thing is the ceilings here are just not that high. I mean, you don't really have an elite level performer on this offensive line, which is something that's going to have to be addressed, because again, you just invested a ton in a quarterback who you, and the owner, the CEO said on the CEO on Tuesday said that he views this as a turning point for the franchise. You know, he talked in glowing terms about Sam Darnold. Well, you think this much about Darnold, starting next year, now this year it's probably too late, you're going to have to really invest in some premium, some elite level offensive linemen to protect him. Because at the end of the day, you look at these guys, you look at the guys on the offensive line, even if everything goes right, I mean everything goes right, and all five of these guys play to their potential, we're probably talking about a middle-of-the-pack offensive line here. We're probably talking, you know, this is not an elite offensive line, even if everything goes right. And that's something you want to change when you are trying to build around a quarterback. That's the first thing you build around the quarterback. You build protection around him. So, again, something that's going to have to be addressed. I'm going to give you one more position that I think is incomplete at the moment. I know people are going to go nuts about this one, because I know I'm going to hear from people about this one because it's good. I know people like one of the moves the Jets made at this position, but I'm going tight end. And I already can hear you. I already visualizing the emails I'm going to get for this one. I'm visualizing the comments I'm going to get. Yes, I understand the Jets drafted a guy in the fourth round, Chris Herndon, who a lot of people like and people I know like, people I trust like, people that they're optimistic about him. I understand. I get it. You're optimistic about him. He's a fourth round pick, though, okay? And so even if he pans out, and again, fourth round pick, he's a big projection. He wasn't that productive in college. Now, mitigating circumstances, quality player in front of him, David Njoku, early, you know, elite, viewed by many as a blue chip prospect. Okay, that's a valid reason for limiting his productivity. Also injured, nothing you can do about that. I understand. Long term, you got a shot with him. But as a rookie this year, you know, look at the great tight ends in this league. Look what they did as rookies. You get anything out of Herndon this year, you've really hit the jackpot. I think it's a great bonus. It's house money if you get anything. Tight ends take time to adjust to the NFL. It's just a tough position. It's a tough position. You have to learn the receiver routes. You have to learn the tight end routes. You're learning multiple spots. You got to block against bigger, stronger guys. It's just a big transition. You can't expect anything out of a rookie, much less a day three rookie, much less a day three rookie who's kind of a project coming off an injury. So I'm not sure you're getting a lot out of him this year. You look, Jordan Leggett, pretty much out all of last year again. So not a guy I'd necessarily say is a rookie per se, because, you know, he was around the team. He studied the playbook. He got to, the mental reps, as people call them. There were things he got to do, but his game still needed some refinement, I think. And he lost some practice time. He lost time on the practice field that could have helped him develop. So what are you getting from Leggett this year? Again, I think your expectations would be well advised if they were low. And then Clive Walford, who probably maxes out as an Austin Seferian Jenkins type, you know, and I think the Jets could have improved on Seferian Jenkins. I think Seferian Jenkins got a lot of credit for being better than Kellen Davis and Jeff Cumberland, and that's not saying much. So I think this is a position where you could use some work. Now, here's what I will say is Quincy Enunwa, I think, can help at least make up for some of the production as a wide receiver. He can make up some of the production you're not going to get out of the tight end position, because he's going to work the middle of the field, nice big target. So I think he'll help a little bit. But at the same time, again, you're breaking in a new quarterback, young quarterback, trying to develop him. Having a tight end as a security blanket would be a nice thing. So I think that's, again another position Jets are going to have to address going forward. This show is not about casting aspersions. It's just talking about, maybe it's a little casting aspersions. Maybe it's a little criticism, but as much as anything, it's attempting to be constructive in your criticism. What positions do the Jets still need to address? That'll do it today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Jets Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you'd be so kind. Enjoy your Wednesday. We will be back on Thursday.